I'm about to take your Bible in hand and turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, if you're using one of the Bibles in the pew, you'll want to turn to page 458. And if you do not own a Bible, we would invite you to accept that Bible in the pew as a gift from Bethany this morning. We've been in a study of Paul's letter to the church at Rome. And in our study of that wonderful book in the New Testament, we came to the end of Romans chapter 8 last Sunday. Several weeks ago, I confessed to you that that chapter, Romans chapter 8, is my favorite chapter in the New Testament. The chapter we look into today is my favorite chapter in the Old Testament. And these two chapters have much in common. Both of these chapters are on the subject of the Christian life. What Paul wrote after the death, resurrection, and exaltation of Christ, David wrote with the promise of Christ in view. What Paul wrote about as he described the life of the adopted children of God in Christ, David wrote about as he described life with the Lord as shepherd. Now, 1,000 years passed by between the 23rd Psalm and the 8th chapter of Romans. And the message is the same, simply with fuller revelation in the New Testament. Now, 2,000 more years have passed by, and the message is the same for us today. We heard it last Sunday. We hear it again today. The Christian is what the Christian is because of what God has done. In Christ, we are the sheep of His pasture and the children at His table. What the Lord has done and what the Lord will do for us is the ground on which the Christian stands. There alone, we are safe. And there, we are really safe. Give your full attention to the reading of God's Word. A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's go to Him in prayer. Spirit of God, You who anointed these words, inspired these words to be written down, and God, we pray that You would now anoint the preaching of these words so that we might hear the voice of Him who is the greatest shepherd ever. That we would hear the voice of Jesus, every single one of us, and that we would follow after Him, who is salvation to us and for us, so that we might really understand what it means to be sheep in the pasture of God, that we might truly understand what it means to be children in God's forever family. And we ask it in the name of Jesus for the glory of God our Father. Amen. Last Sunday, I said that we could sum up that description of the Christian life in Romans chapter 8 with four words: holy, suffering, hopeful, secure. Remember those? The Christian is made holy to God. The Christian will surely suffer in the world. The Christian has sure hope for the future. The Christian is secured for that future. Holy, suffering, hopeful, secure. Those four words could also be used to sum up this description of the Christian life in Psalm 23. But I'm going to offer three more words this morning, that three words we could use to sum up the Christian's spirit in life. Three words that sum up, or should sum up, the Christian's attitude and mindset in life. Those three words are contentment, comfort, and confidence. Those three words sum up what is to be the Christian's spirit because of what our Lord has done and will do for us. Now let's think together carefully about those three words this morning as we walk our way through this beautiful psalm. In verses 1 through 3, let's think together about contentment under the shepherd's provision. Contentment under the shepherd's provision. This psalm is a psalm of David. And as David opens this psalm, he uses the image of shepherd to describe who the Lord is, what the Lord is. Now, you and I, we may not know a whole lot about sheep, but David did. He had spent the early part of his life tending sheep. And David knew that any sheep's lot in life depended on the quality of the man who cared for it. The well-being of any sheep depended on the shepherd. And David saw a lesson there concerning the relationship between the Lord and his people. So first, let's consider the sheep. Sheep are helpless animals. They cannot take care of themselves. They must depend on a shepherd to provide for them. Sheep do not often demonstrate sound judgment. They make poor choices, and those poor choices serve to bring harm upon themselves, upon the sheep. They are in need of the correction of a good shepherd. Sheep are defenseless against predators. They don't have claws, and they don't have fangs to defend themselves. They are defenseless. They depend on a good shepherd's protection. And sheep are wanderers. They don't have a good sense of direction, and they're often getting themselves lost. They need a shepherd to make sure they go where they need to go. Yet in spite of all of these weaknesses, this might be the worst. In spite of all of these weaknesses, sheep tend to be dangerously independent. They can be very stubborn creatures. Now, David says here, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, this is first a statement of humility, because if the Lord is David's shepherd, tell me, what does that make David? A sheep. David confesses that without help, he is nothing but weak. Without correction, he is nothing but ignorant. Without protection, he is nothing but doomed. And without guidance, he is nothing but lost. David confesses, "God help me, I can be a very stubborn creature. And I need a good shepherd." This is a statement of humility. And be sure, there is no salvation without it. The Christian knows that the only thing we bring to the Lord in this matter of salvation is the humble confession of our need. "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling." The Christian knows that even this humble confession of need is a work of the Lord's grace in us. "The Lord is my shepherd." It's a statement of humility, but it's also a statement of faith. The well-being of any sheep depended on its shepherd, the quality of its shepherd. And David says, "I got the very best of shepherds." There is no lack whatsoever in his competency or his ability. Here's the Christian statement of faith. You ready for it? He who spoke the universe into existence and who upholds it all by the word of his power, he shepherds me. He who formed me in my mother's womb and who sustains me in every moment of my existence, he looks after me. He who sees into the depths of my heart and he knows my every weakness far better than I do, he watches over me. He who is the owner of heaven and earth and all that is in it, he provides for me. The Lord is my shepherd. I want you to consider the abiding presence of the shepherd in David's statement. He does not say, the Lord will be my shepherd. He does not say, the Lord has been my shepherd. Now, both of those statements would be true. But David says, the Lord is my shepherd. You know what I hear David saying? I hear him saying, do you remember that time when Moses stood before a bush that was burning but not burning up, just continually burning, and a voice spoke from the bush and said, Moses, I'm calling you to go and tell Pharaoh in Egypt to let my people go. And Moses said, oh, but if I go and I do this and the people ask me, who sent you? Who sent you to say this and do this? What am I supposed to tell them? And the voice spoke and said, you tell them, I am sent you. I am who ultimately, of course, would deliver the people of Israel out of bondage in Egypt by his almighty power. David says, listen, I'm trying to tell you. I am, is my shepherd. Abiding presence. Consider also the intimate relationship here in this statement. David does not say the Lord is a shepherd. He does not say the Lord is the shepherd of the world. No, he says the Lord is my shepherd. Beloved, he who created you and all things, he who redeemed you by laying down himself and by shedding his own blood to make you his own, he is the one who shepherds you, who looks after you, who watches over you. What do we sing? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. I belong to the Lord of heaven and earth, and he belongs to me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, sheep could not provide for themselves. They depended on a shepherd to lead them to where the good grass grew. And especially in an arid environment that David was familiar with, the sheep would starve if they did not have a shepherd who led them to where the good grass grew. And David here is saying, because this is so important, listen to this. David's saying, because I have the very best of shepherds, I have no rightful reason to worry about anything. I have no rightful reason to worry about anything because my shepherd knows exactly what I need. I am his sheep, and he will provide. So Jesus said, he taught his disciples in Luke chapter 12, and he said, therefore, I tell you, Don't worry about your life, what you will eat. Don't worry about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food and the body more than clothing. Take a look at the ravens. Just watch them. They don't sow any seed. They don't reap any kind of harvest. They don't build storerooms and barns. Yet God feeds them. God feeds the ravens. How much more valuable are you than birds? David said, I shall not want. And in that short statement, David's saying that he has found that for which every human being is searching. And it's not more money and more stuff. It's not more recognition from people or power over people. Every human being is searching for this. Satisfaction. Rolling Stones sang a song about it. Satisfaction. Contentment. And David says, I found it. I found it. I know, David says, I know that there may be times when I desire something and I don't receive it. And I know there may be times when I have something that's taken away from me. But I shall not want. Because I know that my shepherd will withhold nothing from me that is really needed. He alone knows what is best for me, and I will be content with what he has provided. David's statement here in verse 1 has this at its bottom line. I am content with my shepherd. I've shared this with you before. I've read about a little children's Sunday school class in which the teacher was leading the children to memorize and recite the 23rd Psalm. And one of the little girls, when it came her time to stand up and recite the 23rd Psalm, she began this way, "The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want." That little girl caught the spirit of the 23rd Psalm. Paul made the same type of profession that David is making here when he wrote to the Philippians, and he said, listen, he said, I know both how to have a little, and I know how to have a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret to being content, whether well fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That verse is often quoted out of context and put on blackout on football players. And I'm thankful that the Word of God is, you know, on national television. But what Paul is saying there, what David is saying here, is that I have learned the secret of contentment when things are not going my way. Paul said, I'm content with Christ. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. So David said his shepherd not only led him to green pastures, but made him to lie down in those green pastures. So we need some more information about sheep to understand what he's saying. Sheep, as long as they're hungry, they will stand. The only way that a sheep will go to the ground is either to faint from starvation or to lie down with a full stomach. And David said that his shepherd not only leads him to the green pastures, but he makes David to lie down in those green pastures, well fed and content. Once again, what we're seeing here, what he's saying is that our sustenance comes from the hand of our shepherd. Have you eaten this past week? Have you perhaps earned some money this past week, maybe a paycheck? Maybe some interest on something. Have you had any physical provision laid before you, set before you in any way, you need to thank Jesus for it, because it came from His hand. Jesus knows what we can handle materially. He knows what we can handle, and He knows what we need, and He will provide for our physical sustenance. But man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And more than this, Jesus provides for our spiritual sustenance. And it's right here. It's right here. And after nearly 14 and a half years of serving here as your pastor, I pray that this has been clearly the subject of my ministry. Because this is all I have to offer you. And this is all you need offered. The Bible, the Word of the living God, is the green field for the soul that our shepherd leads us to, but He doesn't just lead us there. He makes us to lie down well fed. He says to us in His Word, "Open your mouth wide and I will fill it." It is His Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of our shepherd, who enables us to feast on these words of life. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. When sheep get hungry, they become restless, and they will look for any way to quench that thirst, to satisfy that thirst. If they are not led to a clean water supply, they will stoop and they will lap up water from stagnant pools where parasites thrive, and to the sheep's great harm. A good shepherd led His sheep to slow, quiet streams where they could be refreshed and renewed, and where their thirst could be quenched by clean, clear water. We are so very much like sheep. Our souls thirst, and we'll lap up water from any old pothole, try to quench that thirst. I mean, we could just go down a whole list of potholes where parasites thrive. Great harm waits for us. But Jesus clearly stated, He clearly stated that He alone can quench the thirst of the human soul. He gives living water. And Jesus said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. This is where I can find quiet and rest for my weary, anxious soul, to come to the shepherd and drink, because He leads me beside still waters. And He restores my soul." David was well acquainted with this restoration the shepherd works. David was well acquainted with his own guilt and shame. Here's what he confessed in the 51st Psalm. He said, "I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." And confronted with that kind of condemnation, David cried out to the Lord, "Wash me, and I will be white as snow. Have mercy on me according to your steadfast love." See any connection with Romans 8 there? "Restore unto me the joy of your salvation." And David's shepherd heard him and answered. That justification before God, that forgiveness, that pardon of sin, that being made righteous before a holy God, oh, that provision is only found in Christ, only in Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So today, sheep are directed by people on horses or ATVs with sheep dogs, you know, to keep the sheep moving. Today, sheep are driven, but it wasn't that way in David's day. In David's day, the relationship between a shepherd and his sheep was very intimate. So much so that the sheep knew the sound of their shepherd's voice. So the shepherd would walk in front of the sheep, speaking softly. And because the sheep knew the sound of their shepherd's voice, they followed him. He led his sheep. And the best of shepherds did not lead his sheep in a careless way. No, he led his sheep in the right paths, and thus he guided them. And when a shepherd led his sheep in such a way that not one of the sheep was lost, the reputation of that shepherd flourished. Everybody knew that that shepherd was a good shepherd. Jesus said in John chapter 10, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." David said, "He leads me in the paths of righteousness, and because I know the sound of my shepherd's voice and I follow him, honor is brought to his name. His glory is recognized by people who are around me." Everybody knows. Everybody can see that my shepherd is the very best of shepherds. What is this but the sanctified life? This provision of sanctification to God, in which we're walking in the paths of righteousness, it's provided in Christ and in Christ alone. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So this is contentment under the shepherd's provision. Now think with me in verses 4 and 5. Think with me about comfort under the shepherd's protection. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." A good shepherd led his sheep along the right paths, the best of paths. But even the best of paths sometimes lead through dark and dangerous places. And it was in those dark and dangerous places when the shepherd's two most important tools were used. One of those tools was the rod. It was a club-like instrument that the shepherd used to defend the sheep against predators or thieves. It was also used to correct the sheep, you know, when they had become a danger to themselves. And then the staff, we've all seen a shepherd's staff before. It often had a hook, right, a crook on its end, right? And that was used to lift the clumsy sheep out of places into which they had fallen. It was used to direct the sheep when they began to follow their inclination to wander off. See, remember, they're dangerous. They're stubborn animals. They're stubborn creatures, and it seems that even in the dark and dangerous places, they seem to consider themselves to be somewhat independent. That is, until they feel the shepherd's rod protecting them and the shepherd's staff directing them safely back into the fold. Where do we often hear, in what context do we often hear this psalm read? Funerals. How many funerals have you attended where Psalm 23 was read? Often printed on the back of the card when you walk in the funeral home. And you know what? There's a reason for that. This great psalm is a huge comfort to us as we are facing the reality of death. But let's be clear. Let's make sure we're clear about the reality of life, because that's what this psalm is about. Our entire journey of life in this world is a journey through the valley of the shadow of death. Death is always casting its shadow up on us in a journey that is fraught with danger. That's why Christians sing that hymn that John Newton wrote. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath led me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Our Lord said, in this world you will have tribulation. It's going to be troublesome, life in this world. Then he said, take heart, I have overcome the world. Listen, our shepherd has suffered death in our place for our salvation. They laid his dead body in a tomb, but it was not possible for death to hold him. No, up from the grave he arose, and he has all authority in heaven and on earth, including, of course, authority over death itself. And death will be the final enemy he utterly destroys when he comes back with a cry of command, and the dead in Christ will rise. Our Savior, our shepherd, comes back to put death to death. And until that day, death is now, for the believer, has become simply a threshold over which we step into the glorious presence of our shepherd. Why would I ever fear that? Sweet friend is death, because my Savior rose from the grave. It's far better to be with him. That's what Paul said. And also, until that day of our Lord's return, right now, in every single step of our journey through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have any reason to fear evil. We don't have any reason to fear tragedy. We don't have any reason to fear any kind of illness, any kind of injury. We fear no evil because our shepherd is with us. And his rod protects us, and his staff directs us. We are always and ever in his care, safe and sound. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The metaphor of shepherd and sheep merges together so beautifully as it shows the relationship of the Lord with his people. You know, a good shepherd would not only lead his sheep to where the good grass grew, but a good shepherd would often prepare what's called a tableland. You've heard that word, that term, tableland, right? Tableland is a flat, it's usually a high and flat piece of ground, like a plateau, with good grass that's been cultivated there. And the shepherd would prepare this and this tableland and lead the sheep there where the sheep could graze on the flat, high, flat ground, and while the shepherd guarded against any predators that might come. When David says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, what he's saying is that the Lord, he's talking about the Lord's intimate care for his sheep, his very intimate care. And actually, this language, it speaks of fellowship. When Jesus was here on earth in his earthly ministry, the religious leaders got mad with Jesus about a lot of things. But one of them was he ate with sinners. He ate with those people. Why'd they get mad? Well, they got mad because to eat together with them was to show fellowship. It was to have fellowship with them. So David here, he says, hey, the Lord prepares a table of fellowship for me, and he does so in the very presence of my enemies. Now, David knew as much about war as he knew about sheep. And David knew that a soldier at war who was in the presence of his enemies, he eats his meals quickly and with great caution. David also knew that the worst thing that could happen to a soldier was to be left behind and alone on the battlefield. That soldier could be quickly captured and killed by the enemy. But David here speaks of restful fellowship with the Lord in the heat of the battle. And the enemy dares not approach, because the Lord of hosts is the host of this supper. We got the key for spiritual warfare here, for victory in spiritual warfare. David gives it to us right here in this verse. We have a formidable enemy. The devil is like a lion roaming to and fro, seeking someone to devour. And the key to our having victory, daily victory in spiritual battles, is that we remain in unhindered fellowship with the shepherd who has already won the war. Christ has already crushed the head of that snake. And as we enjoy this fellowship with him, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under our feet. Paul's going to write that at the end of his letter to the church at Rome. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Now, in David's land, summer temperatures could be well over 100 degrees with very low humidity. When Shannon and I lived in Montana, I had my first prolonged experience with low humidity, with an arid environment. And you know what I found? I had to put lotion on my skin every day, multiple times a day, often. If I did not, my skin in various places would crack open and actually bleed. Now, in David's day, people would use oil to protect their skin in a harsh environment. Do we not live in a harsh spiritual environment? This world, our culture, it is a spiritually arid place. Dry and weary land. And it becomes more and more so, it seems, with each passing day. But our shepherd has anointed our head with oil. This anointing, the oil in Scripture, is almost always pointing to the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit's anointing. We have been given the very spirit of our shepherd to live within us, and he is our constant guard and guide. He is our constant comfort and counselor. He is a very present help in every time of trouble. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. This speaks of comfort in light of all that our shepherd has done and will do for us. We simply cannot contain all of the blessings that come with being one of his sheep. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hey, the living water that Jesus has given us has done exactly what he said, what he told the woman at the well in John chapter 4 that it would do. That living water has become in us a spring of living water, welling up to eternal life. In Christ, there is superabundance. So we simply cannot contain all of the blessings with being sheep of his pasture. My cup overflows. So this is comfort under the shepherd's protection. Finally, in verse 6, think with me on confidence under the shepherd's preservation. David writes, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." There is not a hint of doubt in that verse. There's not a hint of a question in that verse. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, not some of the days, not most of the days, but all of the days of my life. My shepherd's mercies are new every single morning. David's saying exactly the same thing Paul said when Paul said, "For I am sure that neither life nor death, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. So Paul and we look back to what Christ accomplished at the cross. David looked forward to the promise of the Christ. And David was absolutely convinced and remained absolutely convinced that God's grace and mercy would preserve him in everything that he faced in this life and for all eternity to come, because he ended this beautiful psalm by saying, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There is only one way for me to know that I am safe in what happens to me in this world, and what happens to me when this heart stops beating, or what happens to me when the Lord Jesus Christ splits the eastern sky to come down here and settle accounts with mankind. There is only way I know I am safe, and that is life with the Lord as shepherd. It is His preserving power that enables us to persevere all the way into eternity. Christ is our confidence. Can I point one more thing out to you before we close? Take a look, if you will, at the flow of the verbs in this beautiful psalm. The flow of the verbs tell us something. See, at the beginning of the psalm, it says, He makes me lie down, He leads me, He leads me. Here we have verse, we have the shepherd out ahead of us, before us, providing. And that's where contentment is found. In the middle of the psalm, the verbs are, He's with me, right? He's with me, He prepares a table in the presence of my enemies, He anoints me with oil. So there the shepherd is beside me, protecting. And there's where comfort is found. At the end of the psalm, surely goodness and mercy shall what? Follow me. Well, there, my shepherd is behind me, and he is preserving. And that is where confidence is found. What produces the Christian spirit of contentment, comfort, and confidence? It is nothing but this. You ready? Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ behind me. Christ is our confidence. Do you have the Lord as your shepherd? Shouldn't we spend every single moment of the day rejoicing in that if we do? Do you? Listen, Jesus said, I am the door. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And he will go in and out and find pasture. I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. No one takes my life from me. I lay it down on my own accord. I have the authority to lay my life down. I have the authority to take my life up again. I've received this charge from my Father. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. No one will snatch them out of my Father's hand. Do you hear the voice of Jesus this morning? Do you hear Him? And follow Him. Follow Jesus. Because that's the only place you're safe. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank You for this beautiful psalm. And I thank You for how this psalm has been such a sweet comfort to me throughout as long as I can remember. And I thank You that I never fail to look into the 23rd Psalm. It never fails to teach me more about who You are, Jesus. Father, about how You have provided for us all that we need in the gift of Your Son. Spirit of God, of of what you do and who you are in my life. God, I pray that every single one of us here today would take what we have seen and heard in this psalm, and we would apply it so that we might walk every day with contentment and with comfort and with confidence in Christ and in Christ alone. And I ask it in his name. Amen.